So the question that that we are going to look at here this morning is a very important one. How do you persevere when prayers go unanswered? How do you keep on praying when it seems that God is silent? It's a great question. It's a great question, and one that I'm sure we have all wrestled with. You know, the Bible says that God answers prayer. We have experienced for ourselves that God answers prayer. And yet, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers as quickly as we would like. What do we do then? Now, I just need to say as an aside that question, how do we persevere in the face of unanswered prayer, kind of begs another question. Why doesn't God answer our prayers sometimes? And that's another question that could be a whole other sermon. In order to focus on the question that I was asked, I'm going to focus just on the question of how do you persevere in the face of unanswered prayer. If you are interested, though, in the question of why it may be that God is not answering my prayer, I would point you to the handout that I gave. There's a few printed off here at the back, and then it was attached to the email on Friday as well. Pete Grieg, in this book, God on Mute, gives 15, I think, very reasonable answers to that question, why isn't God answering my prayer? So if you're interested in knowing why God might not be answering your prayer, I would point you to that handout in Friday's email, or there are a few here, or you can borrow this book if you'd like. I think that there are some good answers there, why it is that God may not be answering prayer. The person who has asked the question, though, today has asked, well, okay, they've taken it a next step and said, okay, for whatever reason, God is not answering my prayer in his sovereignty. I trust that he will answer my prayer eventually. I don't want to give up. I don't want to get discouraged. I want to keep praying. So how do I persevere trusting that God will answer that prayer? To answer that question this morning, I want to take you to the end of Genesis. I want to take you to Joseph's story in Genesis 37 through 50. I'd encourage you to join me there, Genesis 37 through 50. The Bible doesn't say anything about Joseph's prayer life. It doesn't record any of his prayers. But just imagine what Joseph's prayer life must have been like. Lord, deliver me from this pit, right? His brothers throw him in the pit. Lord, deliver me from this pit. God takes him out of the pit, and he gets sold to traders. Lord, set me free. He gets sold as a slave to an official in Egypt. Lord, let me go home. He ends up in jail for something that he didn't do. Joseph, I'm sure, knew what it was like to have prayers go unanswered, and yet by the end of his story, he experienced God answers to prayer, God's answers to prayer in some pretty marvelous ways. So I'm going to look at with you at Joseph's story this morning and give you three strategies, three things to remember that will help you and help us, I think, to persevere in the face of unanswered prayer. So Genesis 37. Joseph. How many of you have seen Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat? Yeah, it's that guy. Joseph was his father's favorite son, and his father, being a bit of a blockhead, decided to honor his son by giving him a really fancy coat, right? The coat of many colors. To be honest, it may have just been a fancy long-sleeved coat. The Hebrew is actually a little bit obscure there. So multicolored coat is a good guess. Long sleeve, whatever the case, it's a fancy coat. It's a coat that makes Joseph stand out as more important than his brothers. The song is right. It goes, Joseph's charm and winning smile failed to slay them in the aisles. And Joseph certainly didn't help things at all. He rubbed his status in their face. Then he had this dream about how he was going to be bigger than his brothers, and he told his brothers about him, about the dream. And then, of course, he had a second dream about how he was going to be more important than his parents even, and he told them about it and rubbed their faces in it. And I'm just at this point thinking, Joseph, there are some things that you keep to yourself. That being said, it's still no excuse for what Joseph's brothers did. You know, he came out into the fields to check on them. And they said, hey, there's that dreamer. Let's grab him and kill him. They tore off his robe. They threw him into a pit with the intention of killing him. Then some Midianite traders came along, and they came to their senses and they said, what are we doing? We can't kill our brother. That would be mean. We should sell him instead. So they sold their brother off to strangers, and off they went. Imagine then what Joseph is feeling at this point. Imagine how Joseph is praying at this point. Right? Lord, deliver me from evil. Set me free. Let me go home. And yet, from Joseph's point of view, it must have seemed like God was suffering, because he didn't go free. He didn't go home. He ended up sold into the service of the captain of the guard, Potiphar. That's chapter 39. Things went pretty well for Joseph until one day Potiphar's wife decided that Joseph was a prize she would like to get her hands on. And she made a degree attempt towards those ends. Joseph, though, resisted her every advance. And you can see there, Genesis 39, verse 9, Joseph says to her, no one in this house is greater than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I then do such a thing, a wicked thing, and sin against God? Now, aside from the fact that Joseph seems to be a pretty morally upright guy, why would Joseph resist her advances? I mean, some people would wait for God for a couple of days to answer their prayers and then say, well, look, if God's not going to answer my prayers, then I'm going to do my own thing. Right? They feel entitled to God's immediate answer. And if he doesn't respond, well, then they feel no further loyalty to him and decide, okay, fine, God's not going to set me free. I'm at least going to enjoy the parts of his disaster and hook up with Mrs. Potiphar, but he doesn't. Why? I think it's because he remembers God's faithfulness, the way God preserved him from death at the hands of his brother, the way that God has put him here in Potiphar's household as an official rather than as a galley slave sitting in the darkest, dankest dungeons, depths of an Egyptian ship, his father's love for him. I think that Joseph remembers those things and then says, how can I be unfaithful to the God who has been faithful to me? His experience of God's past faithfulness is greater than the temptation of the present situation, and so he chooses to remain faithful to God. That, I think, is one way to persist in prayer when prayers seem to go unanswered. Remember God's past faithfulness. When we don't get immediate answers to our prayers, it's easy for us to think that God has forgotten all about us. We have very short memories when it comes to God's grace. But if we look back and count our blessings one by one, we realize that God has been faithful before and that God will be faithful again. God's past faithfulness gives us hope that he will answer our prayers. You know, I love the lament psalms for this. We've talked about lament psalms here a bit before. Lament psalms have this pretty predictable structure. One of the things that you'll often find is the psalmist pouring out his heart to God in a time of need. Psalm 13, for example, the psalmist says, God, I need you to rescue me before I die. Psalm 13, you can picture on Joseph's mind, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You can hear Joseph praying those words, right? The psalm is all very gloom and doom until at the end of the psalm, always happens in laments. The psalmist says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. In the face of difficult times, in the face of unanswered prayers, it's good to remember the good that God has done in the past to give us hope to keep praying in the present situation. I think that's one way for us to persevere in prayer. We remind ourselves, God has helped us before. He will help us again. He may not be answering with the immediacy that we would like, but if we look back, we can see the trail of God's faithfulness and keep on praying. So strategy number one, remember God's past faithfulness. Two, go back to Genesis 39 again. I skipped over a part to get to Joseph and Mrs. Potiphar. Genesis 39 verse 1 says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Ishmaelites and Midianites are the same. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes. Potiphar put him in charge of everything. From the time he put him in charge of the household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household. The blessing of the Lord was on Potiphar, everything that he had. Even when Joseph was there in slavery, God was with him. Jump down to verse 20. Mrs. Potiphar falsely accuses Joseph. Joseph gets thrown into jail. Look at what it says. Joseph's master took him, put him into prison. Verse 21, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all who were there. Verse 23, the warden paid no attention to anything else because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Strategy number two, to keep on praying in the face of unanswered prayer, remember God's invisible presence. When it seems as though God is not answering our prayer, again, it's all too easy for us to think that God has abandoned us, that he has left us alone to fend for ourselves. And yet these passages in Genesis show us that that's just not true. God may not have answered that prayer to get him home or to deliver him from jail, but God was with him every step of the way. God stumbled along with him on the way through the desert to get to Egypt. God lay beside him through those lonely nights in the foreign land. He stood beside him as Joseph resisted the advances of Mrs. Potiphar. And I would take it even a step further to say that not only was God with him, but God was at work for his benefit. Do you notice in chapter 39 how often it said God gave him favor in the eyes of Potiphar, in the eyes of the jailer? Soon we're going to see him have favor in the eyes of the Pharaoh. God blessed all that he did. Not only was God present with Joseph, God was working behind the scenes to make Joseph prosper, even in the midst of those difficult circumstances. When we go for stretches without an answer to our prayer, we need to resist the temptation that says that God has left us on our own. And we need to recognize that even if we can't see it, God is at work with us. Nikki Gumbel writes, that's a sign of Christian maturity when we continue to believe in God's love, even if we don't see it or feel it. You know, just as we believe that the sun is there, even if it's not shining, we continue to believe in God's love, even in times of darkness, when we don't feel it. in the chemo ward, in the unemployment line, in the darkest and loneliest places, God is there. Remind yourself of that. Keep praying, even when it seems like nothing's happening. Remember God's invisible presence. So, first, remember God's past faithfulness. Second, remember God's invisible presence. Third, long story short, God takes Joseph out of jail, gets him in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh has had some dreams. God shows Joseph through those dreams that there's this massive famine on the way. And so Pharaoh says, who could put together an administrative program to make sure that we have food for these 7 years of famine? And as it turns out, there's Joseph. And the Lord is blessing him in all that he does. So Pharaoh makes Joseph second in command, puts him in charge of the public works project to keep everybody fed. As it turns out, after seven very prosperous years, 7 years of famine set in, and this famine is so severe that it reaches all the way back to Israel, and it impacts Joseph's family, who end up coming over to Egypt looking for food. Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him until Joseph doesn't reveal his true identity until he gets the whole people of Israel there into Egypt. If Joseph had remained in Israel, their whole family would have died, because he would have not have been there to answer that prayer, that answered that dream, rather, that Pharaoh had had. When Joseph's father died, the brothers in Egypt started to worry, like, oh boy, he's going to pay us back now. But Genesis 50, verse 20, look at how Joseph responds. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. The brothers here are looking at things from the human perspective. Joseph is looking at things from God's perspective and realizing that God's purposes for him in the end were good. Right, that's strategy number three. Remember God's benevolent purpose. I'm sure there are so many times in Joseph's life in Egypt that he would have prayed, God, why are you making me suffer through this? Why can't I just go home? And yet, if God had answered that prayer and let him go home, Joseph would not have been in Egypt. The famine would have wiped out his whole family. Jesus would have never been born because he was to come through Judah. Whether or not he realized it, in the end, Joseph understood that God's purpose in this was ultimately for good. I think I've heard that this was Pastor George's favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God's plans for Joseph was not to hurt him or to harm him. God's plans for us are not to hurt us or harm us. If God doesn't answer our prayer, it's not because he's trying to withhold from us something or do something bad to us. It's because he has something better in store than what it is we are praying for. God may not answer the prayer right away, but he will always answer the prayer that we would pray if we knew everything that he does. And he is always working for good. If we remember God's benevolent purposes, that will keep us from doubting him in the midst of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And it will keep us from doubting him when he's not immediately answering our prayers. We can rest in the confidence of knowing that God is working for good. Even if he's not answering my prayer in this moment in the way that I want it, we know that his purpose is good and benevolent. So strategy three, for persevering in prayer, remember God's benevolent purposes. So remember God's past faithfulness, remember God's invisible presence, and remember God's benevolent purposes. Let's take a minute and work this into our hearts. Getting ready for this morning, I sat and I thought, what are the prayers that we might be praying this morning that we've not yet heard answers to? I can imagine that some of us are praying for healing, for some situation, for some sickness, whether it be long-term or short-term. Maybe we're praying for a family member or a friend or a spouse to come to faith in Jesus. Been praying for years. Maybe you've got a family member who is mixed up in some less than ideal things. Maybe there is some relationship in your life that is broken and you would love to see reconciliation, but it's just not happening. It may be that you need to keep praying about those things. How do you persevere? How do you keep on praying for those things with the confidence that God is going to answer that prayer and the answer will be good? Well, first, remember God's past faithfulness. Look back at the span of your life. Has God failed you? It may be in the moment that we don't get the answers that we want, but on God's timeline, He does answer our prayer. I remember when we left our last church that last day, in the midst of all the hugs and tears and frustrations, I said to one of the older guys there, in 6 months, in a year from now, I think we're going to be able to look back at this and say, God knows what He's doing. He's been faithful in the past. I trust that He will be faithful now. And I've been here 7 years now. I can look back and say, yeah, God knew what He was doing. Remember God's faithfulness. Keep on praying. Second, remember God's invisible presence. As you wait for God's answer, it may feel as though you are alone, like the heavens are closed up and God wants nothing to do with you. That's just not true. God has this habit of working behind the scenes when we don't even see it, preparing things to give us the answer that He knows that we need in the time that He knows that we need it. Remember that. Remember that He promised to never fail you or forsake you. Remember His invisible presence and keep on praying. And third, remember God's benevolent purpose. As we wait for God's response to our prayers, it can get easy to be frustrated or discouraged or disappointed. But look, God is not keeping something good from you. He is preparing you for something good, no matter the circumstance. It's Romans 8:28, right? In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So as you pray and wait for the answer, fix your heart on this, that God is working for good, that God is ultimately working for your well-being, that He is working to prosper you and give you the things that He knows that you need. God is not going to arbitrarily harm you. His plans for you are always good. So remember His benevolent purposes and keep on praying. If you are waiting for God to answer your prayer, then I would say prime your faith. Remember God's past faithfulness to you. Remember God's invisible presence. Remember God's benevolent purpose. That will get those prayers flowing as you wait for God's answer. To close, I am going to do something that I don't think I ever imagined that I would. I'm going to quote Garth Brooks. I'm just as shocked as you are. Getting ready for today, I discovered that Garth Brooks has a song called Unanswered Prayer. Do you know that? Yes, some people do. Do you know who Garth Brooks is?
Yeah.
He's a songwriter?
Well, yeah, you and I, he's a country songwriter. Mommy would like him. Anyways, Garth Brooks, in this song, he tells this story about going to a, you know, hometown football game with his wife, whom he loves dearly, and running into an old girlfriend who decades ago he prayed, God, let me love this woman and make her my wife, etc., etc. God did not answer his prayer to make that girlfriend his wife. And yet now, looking back, he realizes that that would have been not ideal. In his wisdom, God worked things out differently, and Brooks says, I wouldn't want it any other way. So in this song, he sings, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he doesn't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. God knows what he's doing. Garth Brooks knew it. Joseph knew it. Remember God's past faithfulness. Remember his invisible presence. Remember his benevolent purpose. Keep on praying. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to think about this. We struggle to know, Lord, why you withhold prayer sometimes, or withhold an answer to prayer. And yet we know that the issue is probably you just haven't answered our prayer yet. The time isn't right. We're not ready. Can't help but think of Paul, who said, God, take these struggles away from me. Take this thorn away from me. And you said, listen, my grace is enough. My power is made perfect in weakness. Lord, as we wait, we look for you. I pray that you will keep us from disappointment or discouragement. We pray that you will renew our hope and our faith in you. We pray, Lord, that your strength would be our strength when we are weak and not sure how to pray. Father, we pray that, if you're listening to this, you have something that you are probably praying about. And it may be that God has not quite answered that prayer yet. I invite you to bring that to him right now. We say along with Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever in this struggle? Will you forget me forever in this frustration, in this broken relationship, in this illness that keeps sapping my strength? But God has not forgotten. God has not left you alone. And so, Lord, we renew our faith in you. We trust that in your good time and in your good purpose, you will answer our prayers. We look back and count the moments in our lives when you have worked in good ways. You've saved me times before. I know you'll save me now. Lord, we pray that you would give us your good answers to our prayers. And we pray that you will enable us to hold on until you do. Pray in Jesus' name.